You hear me?
Yeah, Helena, hello, here we are again.
Yes, wonderful. So glad to hear your voice again. And I'm so glad to have this opportunity to learn more and hear more of your fantastic theories.
Yeah. You asked me today to talk a bit about healing, or I suggested that we go into the healing part as well, because evidently there's a point where theory and practice need to come together. When I was talking about freedom of choice and how we actually have the possibility to choose against whatever goes on around us, we also looked into the possibility that thereby we can choose something which is not helpful and as a result create diseases or create problems. And that working with freedom of choice is essentially the basis of what we do as living beings. It's the essence of life. So out of that came also the notion to talk about healing, healthcare in general. Mm.
Because I would think too that if you are not healthy and not in harmony, you can't not even use the freedom of choice. So it must start with health.
Yeah, and it's also a vicious circle that you need health, connectedness, integrity in the universe to be able to use freedom of choice, because freedom of choice works in the way we make contact with the universe at every level, our skin, our organ capsules, our cell membranes, the atoms. But when we make a choice, we change our context and we change our connection to the context. So the only thing we do in making use of freedom of choice is we turn the border between us and the universe inside out in a way. It's like we open the gate or we close the gate. If we close the gate totally, we disconnect ourselves from the environment. We call that hell, from the old English word helling off, to isolate, to separate. And in French you call it enfermé, to separate, and then they have the word enfer for hell. So basically that's the word of a closed system. So in using freedom of choice, we can choose to separate ourselves from our context, seemingly, temporarily. But we can also choose to integrate with the context, to identify with it. And that's, of course, where Buddhism says that the problems that people have in their life are problems of identification and misidentification. So Buddhism is all about understanding that the pains and sorrows of the world come into identification, misidentification. Christianity is much more about maiming, blaming, shaming and laming, the guilt and shame kind of metaphor. That somebody else is responsible for what you do, which comes from the origin of the slave tradition, because that kind of religion was created in Egypt, where the pharaoh essentially was owner of everybody, which the popes in Rome still believe that they are, but in fact they are not. In fact, everybody has freedom of choice. Everybody learns by trial and error. We all learn individually and collectively from our mistakes, and the most important part is that we can communicate freely about those mistakes so that we can correct them in ourselves and in our community and in humanity. And as you can see now, humanity is destroying Earth, not because humans are stupid, but because cultures are basically living without freedom of choice. They are operated via money as essentially a slave culture. If you don't get money, you don't get food. If you do get money, you do get food and a fast car, a new mistress, or whatever people think is important in their lives. And they forget that you already can get that without money. If you can work with people, if you can trust people, which is the essence of the story Faustus, That money is a false promise, and once you see that, you can stop buying into that. And so at the moment we have a society where money is basically creating a lot of problems, and from a healthcare perspective you would call it a superstition that is a major cause of disease. And in understanding healing, you can see how you can set that straight, correct that. And basically that would be the story I'd like to tell today, which is about the nature of healing. And so in part I'd like to talk about freedom of choice, in part I'd like to address what health is and what it is not. How doctors understand it, how different forms of healthcare work with that, and how healing works, and how healing is different from what medical doctors are taught. In fact, medical doctors are taught to think about the body by starting to look at the cadaver and then hoping that they can work with paying patients at some point later on. But when you look at it from the other side, from the living being and the living cell, then you can see that there is a very simple way to connect to the living body, to the living cells, to the organs, to the body, to humanity, in what I call integral healthcare. And then you can see that healing, or the art of healing, is basically the art of puzzling. It is the ability to see the whole in the part, and when the parts are out of order, or when a puzzle part, a piece of the puzzle is turned upside down, or turned around left, right, top, bottom, or front, back, then you can understand why the inside and the outside do not connect, why there cannot be health. And then I'd like to sort of conclude with the notion that it is all about freedom of choice, and also the complexity of it. So then I'll like to come around to the science of healing, the craft of healing, the art of healing, and healing and mysticism. And just to start with this notion of healing, I've come to a very simple understanding of healing, and that was the consequence of working with people. At some point I was looking at the theory I had discovered, the four-dimensional dynamic logic, and I needed to be in my head so much to understand that I had forgotten about my body somewhat. I realized I needed to look at my body, look after my body. So I looked around and I found Aikido as an exercise, and I found Shiatsu as a technique. And in both of them, I basically found something very fundamental, very helpful. In the Ki Aikido, it is actually having the body move in harmony with our imagination, with what we feel, what we think, and what we trust. So that in Ki Aikido, it's always about trusting the body and living it from a larger perspective. Just realizing that the body is able to do what it will do and can do, but the body needs clear communication without confusion, without misunderstanding, to be able to do that. And the practice of Shiatsu, I learned to work with the body, with the muscles, and with the bones, so that it would actually affect the organs, but also the way how people feel. And it turned out something which you can learn in a week and practice in a lifetime. And I discovered, simply by applying the techniques, that I was able to feel what was going on in the other within me, but also that I was able to correct a very complex disturbance in somebody else, and just touching them in one point with a charged body. I saw there was One woman where I touched one point, she immediately started to cry. The people around said, well, this is horrible. Look at what you've done to the woman. And then she realized that by that touch, something which had been bothering her for a very long time was able to get outside of her, get released, like somebody who can go to the toilet and finally can get rid of it all. So she had a cry for about 20 minutes, and after that, everything had fallen in place. Mm-hmm. And that was also something which I discovered in working with the body, that in Shiatsu, the technique uses two hands. One, the mother hand, which is listening, and the other, the messenger hand, which is communicative.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you put the feeling hand in a place where something is in excess, and the messenger hand, you then redistribute that excess to the parts where there is not enough. So basically, my body works like a short circuit cable or a kickstart wire, so that one part of the body can connect to the other. And I also discovered that I could feel within me what was happening in them. So I would get the feelings and the pains and the emotions which they were feeling. So that's where I learned that we are basically all co-processors of each other. But also, healing essentially is about connecting a part to another part, or in more general, to connect a part to the whole. And then I also started to understand what disease is. Coming back to what I already explained about freedom of choice. Freedom of choice is where we can open the gates and close the gates. And disease is when we open the gate, something got in or something got out, and then it doesn't work well. Like the example of somebody opens the gate, the goat goes from the pasture into the flower beds and start to eat up the flowers. The goat gets sick, the flowers are lost. And all that is needed is that somebody leads the goat back to the pasture where it can eat grass and leaves and whatever, feed it well. By the way, the goat, of course, also is a traditional symbol for the devil. And the devil is an old Greek word for a gatekeeper, diabolos. So it is literally about bringing the goat back to the pasture. And thereby having the ability to restore something which is out of place back to the place where it wants to be and needs to be. So in that sense, a disease is the result of something passing from one side of the boundary to the other. And being out of place, it tries to reintegrate itself. So the disease process actually is a quest or attempt for reintegration. But if it is not allowed to do so, it will fail. And as a result, it will cause a problem. So it's not that somebody opens the gate and the goat gets into the flower beds, but that whoever opened the gates, which is the conscious you, the conscious part of us, actually immediately notices that the goat came out from where it would ideally be. I need to guide the goat back. Back to where the goat should be. And so healing is all about that, to bring the part which is out of place back into place.
So simple.
Yeah. And it took me a while before I could see that what I was doing in Shiatsu, with having one hand and the other hand making the connection, I needed to build that in connection to understanding freedom of choice. That freedom of choice is actually opening the gate, closing the gate. Freedom of choice is about learning by trial and error. And freedom of choice is the one element, the essence of life. The alchemist calls it the quintessence. Changing our involvement, we open and close the gate, which is described by the I Ching as the yin and the yang. You open it, you close it, you go from the one state to the other by opening it, by closing it. So there's always four parts: opening, open, closing, and closed. And then the only place where we can do that is that where we can operate freedom of choice, and that is in the boundary of our body. We can invert that boundary, or we can put it back. So we can open it or we can close it. That's it. That's the only thing freedom of choice does. And evidently in our body we can see that the boundary of the body starts with the membrane of the first cell. But once that first cell divide, we can see that it's the membrane of the two cells plus the feed forward and the feedback loop between those two cells. But when the cells divide again, we can see that it is also the membranes of all the next cells plus all the feed forward feedback loops between all those cells plus also all the materials that the cells put out in their feed forward feedback loop communication, and those are the materials that produce the connective tissues in the body. And then of course at some point the body is completed, and then we can see that this membrane is not just the membrane of the first cell but every other cell as well. It is also this feed forward and feedback between the first two cells, but every other cell as well. It is also the materials that have been deposited by these cells, by their communication, as connective tissues and connective materials in the whole body. And so we can also see that the freedom of choice operates at every level of every boundary of every cell, every organ, and of our whole body and the body skin, including the sensory system. So that's why we work with freedom of choice, but that's also where we can turn the world outside us within us, which we see with the sensory system, but also where we can put the world within us, outside us, in the motor neuron system and the excretion metabolic system and so on. So essentially our body is a very simple system of a cell turning inside out on itself, just as what we see in cell division. But then we see that the same happens with the organs, we see that the same happens in the circle of organs, and we see that the same happens for the body as a whole and the digestive system, the gut system within it. And that's where we then operate freedom of choice at all of those levels. So that's where I needed to describe that separately as well. But still, the only thing that we do in using freedom of choice is those four parts of open, closing, closed, opening, open again, and so on. And that's what is described in the use of freedom of choice, that we have freedom of choice, but we also need respect. We need to see that from the other side of the boundary, we still have freedom of choice at that point. The others have freedom of choice as well. There is responsibility, which means that when we make a choice, we must not destroy that boundary, that river of respect, that bridge of connectedness between us and the world. Where we need to maintain the integrity of our skin, of our body organ circulation, of our connective tissue, of our cells. So we need to work with responsibility, the ability to respond. We can interplay with the environment, but we must maintain our own integrity as well. So that the fourth level, freedom of choice, the first, respect the second, responsibility the third, and the fourth is reliability. That what you do must actually maintain your integrity, but also the integrity in the environment, but also our integration into that environment. And that is the essence of health. So when you look at health, you can see that in health, the part is integral part of the whole. The cell is the universe in inverse. The organ is part of the whole organ cycle, and together they perform the same function as the cell turning inside out. The body as a whole is connected to the universe by the skin, but the skin is also the connection of the universe. So, if you want to find a place where God and human meet, it's in our skin at every level of our body formation. And then you can see that disease is when the whole ceases to be represented into the part, when the universe is not integrally represented within you, and you're no longer what's called a pope on earth, then you disrepresent the universe where you are. So you made a calculation error in the integration into the universe, and so your integrity within the universe is compromised. And the cause of that is always at the level of information integration. Because the only thing that freedom of choice works with, the only thing that cells work with, is information. Cells do not need energy to live, because cells are able to operate with energy. Cells use energy to do what they do. Cells need information to maintain what they are. And so you end up with a totally different view, which is that you have first consciousness, the information integration level of the body. Then at the second level, you have the information system, which is the electromagnetic regulatory system, which preserves the boundaries and resets the boundaries, as has been described by Hans Selye. And then at the third level, you can see that as a result of that, the gatekeeping of the inside of the body and the outside of the body is well done, like the farmer irrigating the field or draining the waste from the field. So the third level is that of the physiology, the flows. And at the fourth level, you then end up with the integrity of the garden within that irrigational system, the anatomy of the body. So then you can see that disease arises when the information integrity is lost, as a result of which the regulatory system will fail, as a result of which the physiology, the inner body circulation will have problems and may go toxic, as a result of which the cells in the body get compromised, go sick and might die. And so the nature of disease is that the filtering of the part and the whole went wrong. But disease comes from the information being wrong. We made a wrong choice in connecting ourselves, the part into the whole. So the only thing you need to do to restore that, the only thing you need to heal the disease, is to restore the picture of the relationship between the part and the whole at the information level. And then the energy level will follow, then the time flows will follow, and then the spatial structure, the physical structure, will follow too. So we cannot think in terms of physics, that the physics produces the chemistry, that will produce the electromagnetics, and then we can have an opinion about it. It's quite the other way around. The consciousness will produce the energy. The energy will produce the chemical flows, the time flows, and out of that results a physical form. And so that's also what you see when people die. Basically, their body is still there, all the cells are still there, all the materials are still there, but the information process is gone. As a result of which, the cells cannot communicate anymore, because the cells, which are like the computers doing the calculations, if the software is gone, there are just empty computers. They will no longer do something, like the computer without electricity. Or the television without the broadcast station. If the spirit and the soul disconnect from the body, then the electromagnetic body flows will just collapse, because there's no information pattern which tells it what to be, what to do, and as a result, the cells collapse. So in dying, you actually see that when people are brain dead, it is said that the electricity stops. If the electricity stops, then the chemistry stops. If the chemistry stops, then the anatomy falls apart. So that is the simple process of the cause of origin of disease. And doctors understand this in their way. And they call this the cascade of disease formation. And it starts with health, then adaptation, then compensation, then decompensation. Let me just explain those words. Health is where there is integrity in identity, or identification with integration. So the self is not just connected to the body, but the self is connected to the universe as a whole as well. In India, they call it God-man. So you are an human and humanity. And so in doing that, you are the gatekeeper of how your body will interact with the environment. So also how you interconnect with the environment. And that's where we then use freedom of choice or free will. And then we can adapt to our circumstances as a plant would do, or like an animal would do. We can adapt our circumstances. We can create shelter, or we can go to another place. So at the level of adaptation, we have the fight flight for the animal response and the fear faint for the vegetative, the plant response. But that is the level where we have then reset the boundary. We have also reset the boundary conditions for the body. And as a result, the body will become reconnected or disconnected. And when it becomes disconnected, basically that's the change from the plant to the animal. As you will know, the plant is always rooted in the soil. When uprooted, it can no longer live, unless it is reintroduced very quickly afterwards. And plants use that in the form of the animal, where it is then called a vegetative system. And animals can feed one place and then store it in the body, move somewhere else, get rid of the toxins of the digestion, get rid of the hormones by which they can feed the plants in the environment. And so they can go from one place to the other. And in medicine, that is called compensation. So when you start with health and you make a choice so that you can go into adaptation, then compensation is the ability to live in a different circumstance than where you could normally live. It is like the diver going underwater with a diving gear, or the astronaut going into space with the cosmonaut gear. And so they are able to use a crutch to be able to keep on walking. So that's called compensation. How you lean over, but you need the stick to keep your balance. And the fourth level is called decompensation. If you lean over and the stick breaks, then you will fall over. If you are underwater and the diving gear breaks down, you will drown. If you are in space and your cosmonaut's gear breaks up, you will break apart. So decompensation is the logical result from being out of a place, but the bubble that protects you, that gave you compensation shielding, no longer works. So then it's very simple to understand that what doctors call the cascade of disease is the transition from health to adaptation to compensation to decompensation. Basically, it is the biblical story of the wife of Lot. And Lot, in this case, is also the lot or the fate that we have. And it is the story about what happens when you live in your proper environment, living within your village. The story of Lot is when you live in your proper village.
I'm sorry, someone's coming.
I have to
start English for a little second.
Close the door on that. Because that's precisely what happens in health and healing.
Yeah. No, because it's just one room.
Okay, let me use it as a conference.
Ah, zut. Bon, vous êtes là jeudi?
Oui.
Jeudi, parce que ça, on ne travaille pas, c'est un truc de travail. Bon, je sais peut-être que je ferai des poissons, je ne sais pas, je vous dirai. Allez, Kate, tu
m'ouvres. Ok.
It's okay.
Yeah, Helena, this is a wonderful example of how disease takes place. As something came from one room into the other, so information from another space came into this space, and suddenly there are two information processes. Suddenly there is this process of compensation, decompensation, which of the processes is actually determining what's happening. Do you need to switch to the other process? Do you need to go back? So for me, it was an alien influence, which had nothing to do with the story. For you, it was something which is part of your environment as well. So you became the regulatory system. And so you had to decide, am I going to combine this? Am I going to replace the one by the other? Or am I going to move away the new influence to its own space? So what has happened just now is a very wonderful example of the dynamic of healing. There was one process, then some other process connected up to it. It started to interfere with it. And then a new decision was taken. As a result of the decompensation was brought into compensation, you actively stepped in, you then did adaptation, you adapted the discourse of the other people, as a result of which they can do what they are doing, we can do what we are doing, and health is restored.
Yeah.
So let me connect that to what healing does, what medicine does, what healthcare does, because then you see exactly the same as what we have just experienced at the different levels. And so in understanding that health is the integrity in the environment, disease is when the disintegrity in the environment, when there's confusion or disturbances, then healing is about restoring the integrity, which is what you've just actively done. So you've just done a healing art. And healthcare is the understanding of how that works. So there are, in my approach, four levels of healing. And let me just give the examples which people know. So to start with, homeopathy works with the information integration system. Homeopathy uses water or information carriers, such as sugar or salt or whatever, so that the body can be informed via an electromagnetic signal about a disturbance which is taking place. So the healthy part of the body is informed about the disease that takes place in the body, so that the healthy part of the body, which had somehow gotten disconnected from it, can reconnect to it and can eliminate the disease. It can just digest it. When the healthy part of the body reconnects to the sick part, the digestive system kicks in, and the disease is put back in its proper place. Exactly what you just did with the conversations. Acupuncture understands how this works at the regulatory level. So acupuncture works with the organs, and the organs together form a Möbius loop. So it's a double circle, like a figure eight. So one half of the loop is internal, one half of the loop is external. And you can see that, for example, the liver and the gallbladder. The liver is doing the internal stuff, the gallbladder is doing the external stuff, putting the stuff into the environment again. The same with the kidney and the bladder. The kidney does the internal filtration, and the bladder does the external elimination. So all of the organs work in pairs in that way. And then you can also see that acupuncture works with that. Acupuncture understands that. So when something needs to be digested in the body, acupuncture invites the specific organ which is about either opening the gate or keeping the gate open or closing the gate or keeping the gate closed. And it says, okay, now for this moment it's your job to kick in a bit extra, and as a result something can be eliminated or something can be integrated, or the boundary can be opened up where it was too closed, or the boundary can be closed down where it was too open. So acupuncture resets our setting within our context in what mathematics would call the singularities, or the points of contact in the context. And in a car, that's actually called the contact breaker or the circuit breaker. Those are the regulation point where the sparks are regulated so that they synchronize with the combustion of the fuel in the engine. And so acupuncture resets that timing. So it's very logical, very simple, very effective.
Wonderful.
Then at the third level, you see that when the information is restored and when the tuning to the contact, to the context is restored, then the flow internal and the flow external, they will match up again. Because of course in cell metabolism, if you have too much food coming in, you cannot digest it. If you have not enough food coming in, maybe some processes need to shift into something else. If not enough toxins can be eliminated, you get toxified within. If you don't have enough toxins within the body, then the body cannot tune its internal digestion. So naturopathy understands that. Naturopathy understands how the internal food chain between the cells, and the living cells, cells always know what they do. And they take in and they put out, they take in information, they put out information, they take in electromagnetics, they put out electromagnetics, they take in molecules, they put out molecules, they take in materials, they put out materials. So now naturopathy understands that Möbius loop of the internal and the external circulation, and knows how to restore their balance. That if the one side of the figure eight loop is too large, the other is too small, and they will just reset the balance. And if that is not done, then cells will have a problem within the body. They will not be fed properly, they will not be informed properly. Cancer, by the way, is an information disease, nothing else. They need to synchronize to the rhythm of the environment. If there's too much confusion, too much noise, too many other conversations going on, the story doesn't come across. The cells can no longer synchronize, they lose their rhythm, and they just go on in isolation. That word of isolation, of helling off or hell again. In that way, all of the diseases in the body, all the physical diseases, are the result of a disturbed physiology, which is the result of a disturbed regulatory system or system regulation, which is the result of erroneous information calculation, computation, which is where freedom of choice works. So symptomatic medicine is always at the end of it, looking at the cells, but not understanding that the cells are alive, that they communicate, and that they process information. So medicine is also symptomatic medicine, because it basically wants to get rid of the symptom, but it doesn't help the cells to understand what the problem is, like homeopathy does. It doesn't help the cells to retune their rhythm, like acupuncture does. And it doesn't make use of the balance between the inside and the outside, of the part and the whole. like naturopathy does. So somatic medicine, practical as it can be in crisis situations, it is a symptom treatment only. And it is crucial in moments where you need to gain time so that the naturopathy can actually work at its own pace, which is that of the pace of the living cells, which of course does require that you have done the acupuncture balancing so that the organs actually are in tune, in rhythm, and that their electromagnetic information flows are not disturbed, which of course requires that the information in the body is restored as well. So in integral healthcare, you need to combine that. Always healing starts with restoring the correct world image or the correct self image. The first basis of confusion is the level of freedom of choice, where you replace your world image by a projected self image. And when you make an error at that, you need to do spiritual healing. You need to apply information healing. You need to restore the integrity of the world image. Basically, that's what they say, not my will happen, but your will happen. My will is the will of the mind, and your will is the will of the body, but also the universe in the way it works. So that's the relation between the stars and the world image. You need to recalibrate it to fit to the world image. Not the ideas that you have and the strange ideas that you concocted out of that, they might be fantastic, but they can also be wrong. So if there's a problem, you need to go back to what's the actual situation in the world around, and how does that work, how can I work with that? Then once you have that world picture back in place, then you can see, well, how can I connect with that? How can I make contact with that? Can I make contact with that? Or do I better get out of the way all the way and find a place where I can make contact with it? So if you're in the river and the waterfall with its steep fall is just ahead, you do better cling to a tree and get out of the water. You need to find a proper place of contact to reconnect within the context. And that's what meridian therapy does. And once that is in place, then you can restore the circulation of the internal with the external. It's like you need to plug in the electricity again, but you need to have either the transformer, either you have to have the power lead in the household, or you actually need to reconnect the high voltage tension line, because there is no electricity coming from the power generator at the waterfall. So you actually need to know at which level do you restore the part into the whole, at which level of the circulation do you do that. You need to understand that. And if all of that fails, and if the information doesn't get there in time, if the electromagnetic tuning of the meridian system doesn't take place in time, if the restoration of the internal external circulation continuity is not established in time, then as it is said, if all fails, then you need to put the body in a kind of state of preservation, and that is what the hospitals offer in the intensive care unit. So that they can sort of maintain the body as a body, and then ideally you would reconnect with the other forms of healing. So if you look back at the forms of healing which are applied there, then I'd like to connect how modern medicine does that, and I'll come back to that in a bit, and show how the techniques of surgery, internal medicine, neurology, and psychology are incomplete. So let me start with surgery. Surgery originated from the battlefield barbers. They would cut off the arms and the legs because they saw on the battlefield that arms and legs had been cut off. So they use that for people with gangrene and other things. Basically, they used a knife and fork editing of the anatomy. And that can be wonderful, but you will lose parts of the body, and essentially it's for a case of emergency only. So when you look at internal medicine, which actually works with the physiology of the body, then you are working with the what was called the physicians of the princes. Those were the guys, or the many guys at that time, because the women were doing the healing with the herbs. So the physicians would use herbs and poisons, basically to work with the symptoms, because they didn't understand much of the information flow. Paracelsus and guys like those, huh? Paracelsus, Paracelsus, Bombastus from Hohenstein. He understood it, as Hippocrates and other people did as well. But then, of course, they used sound as part of healing as well. The physicians of the princes, basically, they were using the herbs and the poisons. And interesting enough, the word the Medici, those, that family in Florence where everybody was competing with each other, feeding each other poison for the political promotions. That is still a tradition which we find in internal medicine. But as I said, where you had the physicians, you also had the what people then called the witches, or the wise women, or the midwives, the herbal remedies, and they used herbs for birth regulation. For healing, for psychology, for social recalibration. So rather than internal medicine, it is good to use naturopathy, because they all use the same herbs, but they have a different philosophy about it. At the next level of healing, you have neurology. And when you look at the history of medicine, first, of course, they looked at cadavers, then they discovered that there were organs and muscles, and then they discovered that there were nerves, and only later did they discover that there were hormones and a psyche. So neurology is a quite recent discovery of medicine, and in medicine it is called a diagnostic discipline. They are either too late or too early. They can describe what happens, but they can't do much about it. They work with the neurocrine system, which is the system of neurons and the hormone. The neurocrine, the crine part comes from the word endocrine, which is the hormonal system. And if you look at their kind of treatment, basically you can say that a neurologist works with drugs and electrocution. So the drugs to work at the neuronal level, and the electrocution, which shock therapies and tens and other electrostimulation. But there you can better use acupuncture. They use the same electro information communication system, but they are aware of the way organs work with that, and they are aware that it is about information communication, not about raw power of electricity, in the way neurologists look at it from the perspective of classical science. So that brings me to the third level of approach in medical, clinical medicine, which is psychology or psychiatry, which we could also call the morality police. And psychiatry works with the mind, or it is the information circulation or the hormonal system. Basically, from the use of drugs, and there is a very strong connection between politics and drugs. The CIA, the drug runners, or the political leaders working with the opium, using the opium, and so on. So at that level, you can see that politics, psychology, drugs, and morality are all connected. And that psychiatry, in a way, is trying to enforce or impose a specific kind of thought. And it is funny that there they say that you should be locked up if you're hearing voices. While if you look at technique like voice dialogue or meditation or religion, then the voice of God would actually have people locked up in psychiatry. And the other way around, if you look at shamanism, then they understand this internal dialogue. And voice dialogue, for example, is a very clever technique which makes use of these internal conversations that we all have and that we all need to learn to work with and live with. And shamanic training is actually a way to understand how that works. And when you're using your own thought and when you're working with telepathy and so on. So I've just advanced the surgery, internal medicine, neurology and psychiatry as the forms of medicine that will be used in a hospital. But I also explained why you better use spiritual healing, acupuncture, neuropathy and use modern medicine only as the last resource. Because it needs disease to be able to work, and it cannot work or will not work for prevention. Also, because modern medicine wants to profiteer off disease. They need disease to make money. So it is against their interest to prevent diseases. Going back to this notion of modern medicine, I also said that modern medicine is not the right way to call it. Because if you look at modern medicine, there's a technological, technocrat medicine, which says that it bases itself on science. But when you look at what they're doing, in practice, students still learn to study cadavers first, and then they're told that they have to abide by the models of classical science, which I call dead science or material science. If you look at modern medicine, then at the political level, you can see that it's been taken over by what is called the military industrial banking cartel. It is that group of companies operated by the money industry for making profits. And that was not the purpose of healthcare. But healthcare politics or healthcare policy is now fully regulated by the flow of money. And so you can see that healthcare is geared towards profiteering of disease, and that the care for health is not the issue. In fact, when you look at the gross national product, which is considered to be a marker for the wealth of nations, then the expenses on treating disease is actually a large part of that amount. So when a country says that they are very rich, then you can see that part of that so-called richness comes out of people making money off people being sick, so that actually the country is probably very sick because they do not have preventive health care. And it's interesting when once you understand healing and healthcare that you need to put things back in their proper place. If you take money out of the equation, then you can replace corporations by cooperations, and everybody who wants to make a profit off disease is immediately turned back into somebody who is working towards the betterment of health, because the profit motive goes out. So all you need to do is replace corporations by cooperations, and healthcare will be healed. But at the same time, society will be healed as well, and the population will be healed as well. That is where I focus on the use of integral healthcare. Integral healthcare is actually a very simple way by which you can solve the problem of healthcare, which is now based on the money motive, the material science, the mechanistic approach, and the mass philosophy. It's the philosophy of uniformity, or the soldier, the an I form, which is the other word for uniform. When you put the I back in the equation, which I've described in an earlier session as the principle of I God, the integrity, generate, operate, and destroy, that is the principle by which we recalibrate the boundary between the part and the whole, and that's the only thing that we use in healing, to recalibrate that boundary, to restore the boundary, or to make sure that the boundary is functioning properly. And in integral healthcare, four forms of healing are used for that purpose. The somatic healthcare, the neuropathy, the acupuncture, and the spiritual healing. Basically, those are the forms of healing now combined of anatomy, physiology, the regulatory system, and the information integration system. Actually work body, mind, soul, and spirit at the same time, but the only way you can do that is to understand how these different parts of body, mind, soul, and spirit are connected. And it's fascinating that that is exactly what we find in the four world cultures of respectively the West, the East, the Far East, and the Far West. The West has the somatic form of medicine, the East and Ayurveda has the naturopathy. The Far East with acupuncture has the regulatory system information in place, and the Far West, the shamanic, has the spiritual or the information integration remedies in place. And once you connect them up, you can then see how you can reconnect the part and the whole, how you can see how body, mind, soul, and spirit are connected, how matter and information are one whole system, and that it is all about balancing the boundary between them. That is where we use freedom of choice, but if we abuse or misuse freedom of choice, that's where we create diseases. So that brings me to the conclusion of this story, which is that healing is the art of puzzling. It is restoring the integrity of the integration of the part with and within the whole. It is getting the boundary back in place and getting the boundary to work well. And that is always based on the living cells. Cells in the body are all alive. If they're not, you don't have a body, we don't have any discussion. If there is need for healing, we need to communicate with those living cells. We need to help them understand why they got confused, generally because we misunderstood something. So we actually need to understand that the body has its own wisdom and the mind has its own knowledge, which is not necessarily wise. And so we need to help the cells restore their integrity and help the cells restore their integration from within. So we need to actually talk with the cells, communicate with them. But that also means that that cannot be done by an intervention from outside. The only thing we can do with an intervention from outside is to create a condition and context in which the body is shielded from a toxic or a dangerous or a harmful environment. So we can cocoon the body for a while, but that's only a crutch. That's only a compensation, because the body needs to be able to restore its own integrity, and that is being part of the whole, in which the universe and the body are in constant interchange. That we need to do is we need to get rid of that confusion that arose within the body as a result of which something was not communicated well, something from the outside could walk inside, confusion takes place. Two processes take place at the same time, they need to be sorted out again. So healing can be helped by sheltering the soul and the spirit from the context, but ultimately you need to reconnect to the soul and the spirit of the mind and the body so that the self can restore their own integrity. So you need to feed the cells with integrity. You need to help them balance how they connect up via the organ circle, the organ cycle, the Möbius loop. As a result of which, the balance between the internal circulation and the external circulation can be restored at all level, at the physical, the chemical, the electromagnetic, and the information flows. And then health will be restored. So in integral healthcare, you actually need all four forms of thinking, body, mind, soul, and spirit. Anatomy, physiology, regulatory system, and information integration system. Because only then can you connect the material with the informational. And only then can you see how freedom of choice went wrong and how freedom of choice can be put right. And that basically puts healing in a perspective where there are four parts of healing or four aspects of healing which need to be combined. So the science of healing, the craft of healing, the art of healing, and the mystical part of healing, or the mystery of healing. The science of healing is that what is described in somatic medicine, which is very deterministic in its mindset. It uses matter as its foundation for understanding, and it works with what is called the third order causality, where everything can be totally determined. It is the level of materials, of dead objects. The craft of healing is at a different level. The craft is where you are actually interacting with it, where you are working with the process, where you need to understand that the process is always working at the basis of relativity. And that's called second order causality. It's not fully conditioned, but it is contained within a context. So when you work with that, you actually need to work with what you're doing, but you also need to work with that context. At the third level, the art of healing goes further. You also need to be able to create the context, because at that level you're working with first order causality. Only one level of the process has a causal relationship, and that's the interaction. But in the interaction, you need to make sure that the context is compatible, and you need to make sure that your involvement in that interaction is in balance, and you need to assure the integrity of the interaction, and that is where science calls speaks about the probabilistic part of it. There's always two principles working at the same time, like a kind of seesaw, and the art of healing is to know, to find, to restore the balance of the part in the whole. And then the fourth level of healing is the mystery of healing, or the mystical part of healing, where the healer actually needs to be the whole. There is no causality at that level. At that level, the cause is the effect. The use of freedom of choice changes the conditions, it changes the events, it changes the outcome. And so that's where the spiritual healer needs to be able to work at that level of information processing. And once the healer is able to work at that level of information processing, then the healer as an artist needs to be able to create the conditions in which that can happen, and then the healer as a craftsman must be able to guide the process in such a way that the balance is maintained. And then the healer as a scientist can only look back and see what has happened and describe that. So that essentially is the story of healing. I've gone into quite a bit of depth on that. So at some point I talk about the scientific level and to show that, yes, that is very descriptive, but what you also need is the craft. And the craft is about the understanding of the process. And for that you need to go to the East and find the understanding of naturopathy. But then once you understand the process, you still have to understand how it is matched within its setting. What conditions are you working within? And in order to understand that, you need to go to the Far East and see how the probability of interaction is tuned by what is called meridian therapy, or the meridian calibration, which is the retuning of the regulatory system. But then in order to understand why you could do that, or how that can be done, you need to actually understand the meaning, because you're actually interacting and potentially interfering with the free will of the other. So that's where you then have to go to the Far West, to the shamanic understanding, to the spirit realms, where you understand freedom of choice, where you understand how spirit and soul create mind and body. And out of that, you're then able to put everything in place, and then you find that healing is essentially simply the art of puzzling, that you are able to put the part which is out of context back in its proper context, that you close the gate behind it, that you restore the integrity of the boundary between, and as a result you can restore freedom of choice. The art of healing essentially is restoring the integrity of the part and the whole by putting the part back into its own perspective, back into its own position, where it can regain its own properties. And then you always find that healing takes place. To come back to that example where I started, at the moment that I had one hand on the body of the person treated with shiatsu, on the place of excess, and I had found the place of deficit with the other hand, all I needed to do is connect it, and the excess from one place went to the place of deficit on the other side, after which the balance would be restored, after which the area in between would come back in balance, and the boundary would be restored, and that would be it. So that now is the end of this story. So let me end the recording here. And as usual, I'll come back to you.